done.
Raising some great leaders in our church and volunteers.
So, welcome. And for those of you who haven't seen me before, yes, I've got a bung leg, but it's getting better. So that's the good part. I get into a boot on the 11th of March. And so, in case you're all wondering, that's where it's at the moment. For those of you who are not squirmish, they actually took a piece of bone out of my foot. I've got that at home, so if you want to come and visit, I can show you. I love it. I love it all. So that's this morning, I want to continue to talk to you about our vision. So AJ, if you can just put up that. Let's all say the word impact.
Impact.
Come on, you can do better than that. One more time. Ready? One, two, three. Impact. Who's ever had a car accident? Who'd rather not? You know, but there's certain things that we can have a collision with that it's actually really powerful, like doing worship together with God is good. And so I want to continue on this, just give you an overview. If we go to the next slide, please, AJ. You know, we talked this morning about three things. How can Jesus impact me greater? Say it with me. How can Jesus impact me greater? Second, how can we impact others? Third, how can we impact our community? All right, so next PowerPoint, please, AJ. How can Jesus impact me greater? All right, so we can commit to prayer. I'd encourage you to come to our prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday evening. And I would also ask every one of us, whoever we are, let's do a minimum of 10 minutes praying a day. Can we do that? 10 minutes. If you're a leader, you can do half an hour. If you're a pastor, you can pray and read your Bible for an hour. It's kind of like mandatory for us, I guess. It's what our role is. But let's do a minimum. Let's go, you know what, I can do 10 minutes today. And so there's that. There's come to Presence Conference. Who's ever been to a Presence Conference? Give me a wave. Who's going back because it was so good? Yeah. So that's in April 14th, and we're waiting for the promo on that. Should be out the next couple of weeks from Oxford Falls. Increase your Bible knowledge. We're just getting a date prepared for that. And we're going to do leadership together probably in the auditorium with Phil Pringle. So fourth PowerPoint, how can we impact others? And, I want to ask you, who are you doing life with? Because we can do life with good people and we can do life with ordinary people. And God wants us to have our best life. So let's hang with those kind of people that are going to build us up, that are positive about us, that are not tearing us down, that are not gossiping with one another, that actually enjoy doing life with you. And we've found that that's the beauty of church, where we can do great life together. Isn't it great doing life with Susan Pitar? Who's glad they've known Susan Pitar, you know? I mean, what an amazing thing the church is. Let's do life with one another. And so there's a hashtag, we are better together. Say it with me, we are better together, all right? So, one of the key things with this is our good news journals. Who's been writing in their journals a positive? Who's got some work to do? All right, grab your journal. Write a positive of your day. If you are a negative, most of us are negatively wired. We think of the bad things first. So the idea of the journal this year is that, and if you haven't got one, by the way, just at the end of the meeting, let's make sure we see they've got them at the bookshop. All right, so you can grab one from the bookshop. If you didn't get a journal last week, grab one from the bookshop. The idea is you write one positive before you lay your head on the pillow at night. You need to do that because then you can say, well, I've had a bad day, but you know what? I'm so grateful that this happened. We all need that. Second, DAC, deliberate acts of kindness. Say it with me, deliberate acts of kindness. We want to deliberately ask the Lord, you know, what can I do for someone today? Whatever you are doing through the day. If you're a home mum, it might be with a neighbour. It might be with the dog next door. Don't kill it. Work out a solution. You know, what I'm saying is whatever it is, you know, there's stuff that we can do to impact our world, no matter who we are. Just do life wherever you're doing it. You know that I go to the gymnasium. I often ask the Lord under my breath, who do you want me to talk to today? And before I know it, by the end of the week, there's a conversation. And, we're getting one step closer. And so there's a plus one moment. Say it with me, a plus one moment. A plus one moment is something else you can write in your journal this year, where someone may be a long way from God, but they've asked you a question. They realize there's something different about you as they get to know you. It might be at work, might be at school, and you are having a conversation and simply bringing them one, if it's, say they're at a negative 90, you're bringing them to negative 89. You're bringing them one step closer to understanding God and Jesus and who he is, and that church people are not freaks, they're not in a cult, they're okay. You're okay, aren't you? Well, most of us are. And so that's great as well. And then how can we impact our community? I love this. It's a great part of our church, as you already know this morning. We don't even use events to invite our friends to. Volunteer at our charity, Port Care. If you would like to, Charlie, just pop up your head, and Catherine, wherever you are, you can see these guys afterwards. They'd love to have you volunteer in Port Care, our charity, which we have on South Street. It's a big premises that does everything from low-cost clothing all the way through to food and crisis care. As I said, there's so much to talk about there. But, you know, and then there's missions trips. We are planning. We're really planning that as Ebola has eased a little, as Susan mentioned a little bit this morning, that we will be able to go back to Liberia this year. We would normally go around March, April, but due to the Ebola, we are quarantined when we come back at the moment. But we're trusting that it's going to be completely lifted by October, so we're putting October in the school holidays as a date. See me if you'd like more information on that, and we can help you with that. And then next year, we're going to plant a service in the Wellard area, and that's exciting. I'm looking forward to talking to you more about that. And, of course, the Philippines going back to the youth are going back to the Philippines in 2016 as well. Thoughts happening? Who's looking forward to being a part of the vision in 2015, 2016? Oh, that was a bit, oh. Yes, yes, Jonathan. I like that. So give me one more yes. Yes. All right, just making sure you're awake, because I can't normally. See, normally I'd move around and get you all excited, but I'm sitting this morning, like last week, so I need your encouragement. Can you help me with that this morning? So if you like something I say, can you say yes?
Yes.
Great. And if you don't like something I say, say yes anyway. Okay, that's good. So this morning I want to talk to you about accept your assignment. Accept your assignment. And so today is about accepting or renewing your opportunity to serve God and others. And we're going to do this together at the end of the meeting. We're all going to fill in a form no matter who we are. So before you duck out to the cafe, before you do anything else, we're going to fill these forms in together. And so that's at the end. So we're going to do it together. Okay? Just making sure that no one's filling it in right now. And I want to give you this scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 6. We are simply God's servants. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. You know what that's saying? It's saying that we've all got gifts and abilities, and it's God that works through us. You're okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can do this. So the Bible says if we wait for the perfect conditions, it's in Proverbs. If we wait for perfect conditions, what happens? You're never going to do anything. That's a proverb. God had it there for a reason. And so you are good enough. I'm not sure everyone's got that. I'm saying, and I'm making this statement, that you, every one of you, are good enough. Okay. One more time. You are good enough. See, great churches are those that have average people. Who feels pretty average? Most of the time. All right? Most great churches, they have average people doing average activities in order to get extraordinary results. So your ordinary acts of love, look at, hang on, I'm going to give you this quote from Desmond Tutu. Your ordinary, this is from him. Your ordinary acts of love and hope point to the extraordinary promise that every human life is inestimable valuable. Let me say it one more time because I sort of messed it up a bit. Your ordinary acts of love and hope point to the extraordinary promise that every human life is of inestimable value. That's a big word for me. So number one, say it with me. Accept your assignment. Accept your assignment. We were put on the earth to make, that's the PowerPoint there, mate. There, accept your assignment. And so when we're put on earth, we're here to make a contribution. God didn't want us to just sit around and wait for heaven. He wants us to move now. And he's given us creative ideas. He's given us resources. He's given us, we're able to eat, breathe, and we're not just to take up space. God's got more than that for us. And this is the kind of church where we want you to know what God's got for you so that you're not moaning and complaining all the time because God's too good, because you've got so many good things that's happening in your life, because you've got purpose, because you're serving with other people in a team, because you can't help but say, wow, isn't it amazing what God did at Life Group last week through whoever it was, Roger. You know, God's amazing. Say it with me. God is amazing. And so we're not created just to consume. In Western society, it's probably the biggest area. We live in a consumer society. You know why people are so happy in Liberia with Ebola and everything else? They don't have to consume. They're just getting on with doing life together. Let's do life together. That's his church. And we're to add life back on earth. And God wants us to give something back. Here's a statistic on our current people in church serving. I was weighing up whether to give this because it's kind of a negative, but I want to hoping that it's going to turn into a positive. So this is a reality check, all right? So the idea is that you'll see just in a moment where are we heading with this. Why are people needed to serve in our church? And it's just a stat, whoever's in the service team, Jane, would you like to have some more volunteers? Yes. If you're in the kids zone, I've already talked to Emma, you can't talk to her because she's outside at the moment, but she said, I would love more volunteers. You know, so this is for, there's always more work in the house of God than there are people. And so we want to find you a work. And so 44% of our church currently, adult base, is serving. I would like to see this climb to 60%. You think that's an achievable goal? That means that 26 more people need to sign up today or next week, because we're going to continue this next week. And so in real terms, 26 more people. And so I have good reason to serve at C3F. Here's a scripture for you from the Message Bible, John 17. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And so this verse is Jesus praying to the Father. And you were created to serve God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're created to serve God. Ephesians says we were created for a life of good deeds. And whenever you serve others in any way, you are serving God, you are fulfilling one of your purposes. You know you were saved to serve God? Gee, it went quiet just then. You were saved to serve God. And it's going to be difficult for any person to justify themselves before Jesus. Well, I had this on. I had too much work on. I had this to do. I had that to do. We've all got excuses. But ultimately, if we're going to be disciples of the living God, we need to serve him. Jesus served us so well. All he wants is a little bit back. And so God's plan for your life is to do his holy work. And your place and your purpose is outworked through the family of God. And this will give your life great significance and great purpose. Another PowerPoint, you were created and saved to serve God. You were created and saved to serve God. In 2 Timothy 1:9 it says, it is he who saved us for this holy work. Not because we deserved it, because that was his plan. You're not saved by service, but you are saved for service. In God's kingdom, you have a place, a purpose, a role, and a function to fulfill. And so I want to say this morning, be willing to serve. It's great to have a good attitude in life. Be willing. Oh, you don't know how hard I work during the week. Be willing. You know, it's amazing if you change your attitude around and be grateful for what God is doing in your life, how much everything else will turn in your life as well. Be willing. I remember when Andrew and I were just married, and I'd been volunteering at the church one day a week, just felt that I'd had a bit of a call on my life. And I'd been doing it for quite some time. And there was a situation that arose, and this particular home group, as they were called back in those days, this is a long time ago. I think I was in my early 30s. So I'm still a young man, okay? But it's about 20 years ago. And the home group, they just had some problematic people and situations in the group. And the senior pastor at the church, who some of you know, Pastor Finkelty, asked Andrew and I and sat us down in his office and said, look, how about having a go at leading this group? And the first thing I said was, well, they're three times my age. I don't know if I can do it. Well, this is a slight exaggeration. They weren't all 90, but, you know. And then, I felt like God said, Nigel, you need to do what your pastor says. You're volunteering at the church, you're doing this, you know. Just give it a, just do whatever he asks you to do. Sort of like there in that moment. And so Andrew and I agreed to take this group, and the people seemed quite excited about it. And so we started to lead this group in one of the businessmen's homes. It actually went beyond our expectations. In fact, I had two pastors actually so concerned. They actually every week they'd ring me and say, "How did you go?" I said, "Well, I don't actually know what the problem is. It just went so well." And they're like, "Really?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it was good." And you know, sometimes you just fit in a certain area and God works it out. So can I just say, if you don't know where to go in church life, just do something. Just start serving somewhere and let's see what God can do. You know, I didn't realize this, but one of those men in that home group, as it was called back in those days, I went to Bible college, and Andrew and I decided at one point, I don't know why we did this, but we did. We both decided to do college at the same time in one year. And so we had very little income. A little bit of Centrelink money coming in, and that was it for study purposes. And this man said to me, why don't you work? And he allowed me to work because we had Bible college in the morning. He said, why don't you come to work? You know, I got paid more in that afternoon than I would have got paid in any other job for the rest of that. He just wanted to be a blessing. If I hadn't started serving, none of that would have happened. God's got plans for you when you serve. We can miss opportunities. So if you don't know where to start, go to Port Care. Go to the service team. Do something that you think, you know what, I can give this a go. God paid a price for you. So use your body to honor God. That's a scripture. We don't serve God out of guilt or fear. Out of duty, we don't serve him out of duty either. Sometimes we've got to do the duty. But it's not the first thing we do it out. We do it out of joy. We serve God with? Say it with me. We serve God with? You know, where's my friend David Watson? Was here yesterday with his friend Ben from, can't even remember the name of your company, but just sitting at the back there, just you know, yesterday he decided to come over for us. This is just a great little illustration. Decided to come over early. They've got a conference on Monday. And he said, and I'm in my leg, and, you know, well, not in my leg, but I get this text message from David, and you know, he's looking forward to coming. I'm thinking, wow, this man just wants to serve. He didn't ask for a big cost to pay. So all day yesterday, we trained C3 WA music team. There was 18 music people that now have a better understanding of how to do sound in their church. How cool is that? There, let's give these guys a hand. They could be doing a lot of other things. But they decided to spend their day serving us. You can't get better than that, can you? God paid a price for you. I think these guys get it. So honor God with your body. Motivate yourself. I've got to start using my hands more. This is interesting. See, we don't serve God out of guilt. I said that. Because of God's great mercy. Who's glad for God's mercy in their life? Come on. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Dedicated to his service. That's Romans 12:1. So decide today to make an impact on someone else and bring joy to yourself, to the other people, and to the Lord. Amen? So accept your assignment. Secondly, I'm just going to finish on this point. God shapes you for ministry. God shapes you for ministry. None of us have all the gifts necessary to build his church. I have no idea how to even twiddle the knobs on the sound desk. But I don't need to. Which is why we need one another. It has always been God's intention that we depend on one another. Yeah, that's right. 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. When we use our gifts together, we all benefit. If others don't use their gifts, you're going to get cheated. And if you don't use your gifts, they're going to get cheated. Can we use our gifts together? And the best advice I can give to you today comes from this proverb. Proverbs 27, verse 19. As a face is reflected in the water, so your heart reflects the person. Your heart reveals the real you. It was obvious, wasn't it? One of the giftings, at least, of Mel was this morning. She just loves getting with people. I can see why Chris and Mel are together. They're a great compliment to one another, right? That was funny, Chris. Even you laughed. The heart reveals the real you. You don't have to be who you're not. So God has given you a unique emotional heartbeat that races when we think about the subjects, the activities, or the circumstances that interest us. And we instinctively care about some things and not about others. Would that be right? There's certain things that, you know, they don't really push my buttons at all. But other things, my goodness, I'm excited. I'm glad I can do this rather than not do it at all. I'd rather sit on a stool and do this. God's got different gifts and abilities for all of us. So don't ignore your interest. Turn to your neighbour and say, don't ignore your interest. Give them a shove if they're not doing anything right now. I want to ask you to consider how you might be used for God's glory. You know, it's repeated in the Bible all over the place. The scripture's all over it for it. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. Give me a yes if you agree.
Yes.
So God wants you to serve Him passionately. When you're doing what you love to do, you will be enthusiastic. No one has to motivate you or challenge you. You don't need rewards. You don't need applause. You don't need payment, because you do it out of a love for God. Proverbs 15:16. A simple life in the fear of God is better than a rich life with a ton of headaches. All right? I like this scripture. Let me say it one more time. A simple life in the fear of God is better than a rich life with a ton of headaches. I don't know if I put the scripture up, but don't settle for achieving the good life. For the good life is not good enough, and if you haven't noticed, the good life is always the next step around the corner. Ultimately, the good life doesn't satisfy. You can have all the money in the world, but it's not going to be enough. You can have a lot to live on and still have nothing to live for. So aim for the better life. That should be a big yes right there. Come on, aim for the better life. Serving God in a way that expresses your heart. Figure out what you love to do and what God gave your heart in your heart to do, and do it to the glory of God. You know, what am I able to do? As before we take, let's take our forms in our hands. Everyone should have a form. If you need a pen, just pop up your hand and an usher will get you one. What am I able to do? God wants me to do what you're able to do. You are the only person on earth who can use your abilities. No one else can play your role. They don't have your unique shape. You know, I want us to just have a quick look around. Look at the variety around you this morning. Have a quick look around. No one's the same. And so, accept your assignment. And two, this morning, God has shaped you for a role. And one of the greatest ways we can impact others is when we live out our lives by serving in His house. So let's be purposeful in building His house together. Jesus has shown us how to do that. He was the one who said, I want to do it down to the very last detail. Let's take this seriously this morning. Have we all got our forms? Anyone still need a form? Just pop your hand up. Front row here, Ken. Who needs a form? Because we're going to do it. Everyone's doing this. Even the kids' zone are doing this morning. Kids? Yeah. Older kids are doing it as well. Who needs a form? We're good now? We're just going to take our time with this. This is really important. I'd like to see the stat go up from 44% serving a little bit this morning, wouldn't you? Let's help one another. Let's shoulder the responsibility together. And so everyone, please, on the front there, please, can you please make sure you write your name clearly? If you have trouble writing, please just speak to someone in your own language or one of the ushers and they will help you. We've got also Pastor Helen's at the back who can help you. So if you have trouble writing, we will help you with this, okay? So please don't be embarrassed. We want everyone to do this. Fill in your name. Make sure you do your phone number so that we can bring you. And then tick the front. You'll be one of those five boxes. So it says here, are you a people person? Just this form, yes. Are you a people person? Are you a task person? Are you a technical person? Are you a creative person? Or are you a connector? Mostly you'll be one of those as the strength. If you're two, you can put two ticks in the box. But not all of them. You're strong on one in particular. And then turn it over. Turn it over and tick the things that you think you might be able to do or that you're willing to do. Okay. Is that clear? All right. Spend as much time as you need on this and then we'll finish our meeting. Just hold them in your hand once you've finished them, and I'll give you the next instruction on what to do. Yeah. If reminder that if you're already serving, you still fill it out. Thank you, guys. Yeah. So before you leave, the usher's going to give you a booklet as well on the way out. But we apart from the cafe team, everyone else should get a booklet as they leave, please, today. Thanks, Ken. If you can make that happen. All right, does anyone need more time? Just give us a wave. All right. Everyone's finished? Yes? Just making sure we've all done them. All right, we're going to hand our... If you haven't finished, keep going. Don't feel rushed. I'm going to give it one more minute just to be sure. One more minute, and then we're going to hand our forms to the end of each row, and the ushers here will collect them for you. Thank you. Let's just wait. Let's wait, make sure we've all got them. So this right-hand side, you're handing them to this end. This side, the middle row, you're handing them this way so that Jane can collect all of them. And that way as well, over towards Jane. That'll be great. Let's make sure we don't miss anyone. I can't hear you, love. Now, while that's happening, on the way out, one of the ushers is going to be giving you a booklet. We would love that you bring that booklet back, filled in, next weekend. So what are you going to do when you get out of your seats? You're going to collect a booklet from Ken, who's standing at the back with his white, bleached blonde hair. He's going to hand you a booklet, and then you can go into the cafe. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you're a loving God. We thank you that you are wanting us to have our best life. And I thank you that as we serve God together, that we have purpose, that we can enjoy who you've created us to be. We accept your assignment in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. Amen. Don't forget your booklet as you head out. If you haven't given your form, just see one of the people at the...